All right, welcome back to episode 2 of Nacho Average Sports. We're here with Ben Ruffman Cohen. What's going on?
Hello, thank you for having me.
And we're also at the beach here in Fort Tilden. That is the background noise of the soundtrack. And, you know, we're almost like, you know, we had a little almost 2-week hiatus. Yeah, it's only exactly 2 weeks from the inaugural Nacho Average Sports Show on Anchor via Anchor. Shout out to Anchor. And, you know, being out on the sea, thinking about Anchor steam, boats, no?
Anchor tattoos,
mermaids. Anyway, this sports podcast thing is a funny thing. Love Anchor, just keep talking into it. We're going to look at some notes. We're going to try to cover notes from the last 2 weeks here. And of course, eventually get into last night's game, game one of the NBA Finals. And the GOAT, J.R. Smith, doing what he does best. But yeah, you know, Dubs were down 3-2 against the Rockets, man. And they went into game 6, you know, after CP3's heroics. And, you know, we were talking about this. I feel like even though, yeah, it's game one of the NBA Finals, it's still relevant when we're talking about the team and within, like, let's just say the last 3-4 games. You know, the end of game 5, people talking about how Draymond fumbled the ball. But if we think about it, you know, Draymond, I think, after CP3 got hurt, when he passed it to Quinn Cook, that's what lost the game in that one, unfortunately. But we came back home to the Bay Area, and they win the last 2. Well, no, they went to Houston for game 6. They lost in game 7. I'm just rambling. This is just rambling at the beach. But, you know, I thought something that was kind of interesting in that game 5, though, that we lost, was when Kerr told KD to trust his teammates more. And he kind of brought up a story of Michael Jordan and what Phil Jackson's advice would be to Jordan, would be to pass to his teammates. And when Kerr was saying that, you know, KD kind of just walked away from him. I wasn't sure if there was, like, tension there or what was going on with the team. Because, you know, the last series, KD was, I don't know, holding onto the ball a little bit, you know, not really giving it to his guys, and earlier in the possession, kind of playing isolation basketball, falling into the hands of the Rockets defense, if you will. But it's interesting, right? Because I bring this up, people, you know, praise LeBron for trusting his teammates, and he's got nobody on that team. And it's like, if KD can't trust his teammates, he's got other all-stars, bro, on the squad. Right. Like, well, let them help you.
Right.
It is like, you know, what you said about the LeBron not having a support system. I mean, it has become quite apparent. You know, what do you have to do? I said this earlier to you. Like, what do you have to do, man, to drop 51 points? And, like, what more does LeBron have to, like, you know, got a bloody eyeball? What more does this man need to do to win a fucking basketball game? I'm sorry. Can we curse on the podcast?
Yeah,
okay, good. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, we're touching upon game one from last night of the NBA Finals, in which LeBron scored 51, which is he's only the 5th player to score over 50 points in the NBA Finals, but he's the only one out of those 5 guys to lose the game. You know, and it goes to show, you know, like, MJ never had to deal with this. I saw a meme or some shit, like, on the social media, and it said, LeBron's already the GOAT because Michael Jordan never had to play with J.R. Smith. And that pretty much sums it up, I think, you know.
Link to that in the comments.
Yeah, right? But, you know, what's interesting is, you know, Harden had that crazy stretch, though, in the Rocket series, just to go back to our notes here, when he was 0 from 11 from threes in the, I guess, game 5. He was 0 for 22 at some point later in the series. But, you know, it was wild that, I guess, in game 4 when the Warriors lost, prior to losing that game, because they were up by 10 plus points going into the fourth, as a franchise, they were 48-0 in their history during the playoffs, going into a fourth quarter up 10. And then, you know, that also snapped their 16-game home playoff win streak, which dated back to Game 7 of the 2016 Finals, the last time we lost to the Cavs, Kyrie, LeBron with the block. And LeBron, you know, coming back to last night's game, he took that charge, man. Yeah, I'm a Warrior fan, but he took that charge. Cavaliers were up 2. That would have changed the whole complexion of this series. And they overturned the call.
So do we have any more clarity about that? Like, what was really that opened the door? Everyone's confused. No one knows what's going on. Players don't know what's going on.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Damian Lillard was tweeting about it. You had other players chime in about, like, it being a judgment call. How can that be overturned? you know, and things of, you know, the fact that he was outside of the restricted zone. I mean, he was moving the right leg barely. But it was interesting that LeBron didn't really get any calls at the end of the last game either. He got no respect, for what it's worth. And, you know, as we move along in our notes here, you know, what really struck out to me of the last conference finals, though, for the Warriors was how much it was similar to the OKC series, you know, even though we were down 3-1 in that one. Being down 3-2 felt like the same thing going into game 6, obviously, and then having to win game 7 on the road. Yeah, I have all these notes that are at this point kind of outdated.
Okay.
Because the NBA final, you know, the playoffs just move on.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I got all these notes about CP3 with the shimmy and Steph's face.
Oh, yeah.
None of that matters anymore.
Yeah,
unfortunately. You know, Steph took it in stride. You had Clay, though, this was from not too long ago. He didn't make an NBA team. You know, there's 3 NBA teams that you can make, and he didn't make one. So it looks like, you know, that's going to be, but going into contractual. Fiscal talk, if you will, the Warriors are not obligated to pay him a certain amount as much since he didn't make, you know, get a raise. He won't get a raise.
Oh, really?
So it'll be easier on the Warriors' books, honestly.
Yeah, that would be easier. There's one narrative I feel like happening
where, like, people like to say, like, oh, Clay is overlooked. And, like, they even asked him about it. Someone asked him about, like, how does it feel to be overlooked? And he's like, I don't care because I like to win championships or whatever, you know, paraphrasing. Yeah. But, yeah, this is that whole, like, I mean, I guess, I don't know. People like to have that narrative of, like, I think, you know, oh, he's lost in the shuffle and he's like whatever. And but, like, Clay's always, I don't know, I don't agree with that narrative, I guess. And Clay's always been an integral part of the team. I mean, remember, they wanted to trade Kevin Love and the Warriors said, like, no, absolutely not, you know. Right. So
when Kevin Love and Clay Thompson played Little League together, they go back to coughing all over the podcast out here on the beach.
Can I say also there are tiny crabs, sand crabs everywhere.
We got sand crabs on the beach. We're talking beach sports. What kind of beach sports are people into out there? Reply back to this podcast.
Yeah, that's what I'm really brought on here.
Tell us what you're into. Yeah.
Well, are you an expert?
Yeah, we have these two paddles here. They're like, I mean, you can hear that on the broadcast. It's like you put your hand on the back of it and, it's got a tennis ball, kind of, that's fuzzy, and it sticks these Velcro paddles. And these ones happen to be a delightful neon green and neon pink. And
yeah,
it's great, man. You use it. I don't know if that makes any sense, what I just said, but it's that game, you know. You know what it is.
Beach sports.
You know what it is.
I mean, we're getting a little bit away from our notes here, but, you know, that was the Beyond the Arc section of our podcast, and also chiming into the part that... you know, hashtag elimination Clay, man. When it's game 6 and your whole season's on the line, you know, that's why it was so reminiscent of 2016, is that he just went bonkers. Like, he had 11 threes in game 6 against Oklahoma City, and he had 9 threes against the Rockets in game 6. 41 points just in 2016, 35 in 2018. More little stand crabs out here doing their thing, burrowing away as we talk on the beach here in Fort Tilden. We also have some fans out here, supporters of the podcast. Oh, where? Oh, did I just smash it? Oh, I hope I didn't hurt it. Oh, okay, no, okay, good. We're still on the podcast. We're just worried about hurting these little. You know, we saved the turtle earlier today. Maybe.
Oh,
we haven't saved it yet. Okay, we're trying to save a turtle.
We're gonna have to explain. You can't just say that.
Well,
explain the story.
No, it's okay. That's for a different time.
I'll tell the story. So we were walking down the beach looking for a place to plop down. All of a sudden, I see something in the surf that's not trash, which is mostly what we've seen so far. And I'm like, what is that? We go up to it, and it's a turtle, a large turtle, about the size of a small dinner plate, I'd say. But it looked like a land turtle. Like, it had legs and claws and... Kat and I both thought, this doesn't look right. Like, so we're like, what's up with this? So far we've dug it a little zone, and we've filled with some fresh water. because it's we believe it's that kind of turtle from Prospect Park. You know, city ecology, it's as much as we know. And so then we're gonna, yeah, we're hatching a plan to re-release it into the wild, not on the beach, where it doesn't seem like it belongs.
So we're gonna take it from the beach back to the park in hopes that it does its thing and it stays alive. And we've been going at it for 10 minutes. You know, shout out to whoever's listening. You guys are real troopers. And this podcast would have been more focused about a week ago if it was more relevant to the things we're bringing up in our notes. But you know, I think also something on the sports in the sports world that we're looking forward to is Justify potentially vying for a Triple Crown at the Belmont Stakes June 9th. We'll be keeping our eyes on that. You know, we do want to take some credit as a clairvoyant podcast in the sense that we did say before he did get any playing time in the Eastern Conference Finals near the end against the Celtics and, you know, played some significant time is in the finals last night, is Larry Nance Jr. Hello, we said it first. You heard it here first, baby. You know, we tweeted at Tyronn Lue to start playing him more, and lo and behold, Larry Nance getting minutes, getting buckets. You know, so you can thank us for that one. Big heartfelt shout out to Jeff Green making his first NBA Finals, former Celtic. You know, we got a big JaVale McGee fan here at the beach joining us too, giving the shout out to JaVale. And you know, JaVale McGee doing JaVale McGee things last night in the finals. The biggest range of let's say dynamic range. That is, yes, the emotional roller coaster that is JaVale McGee on the basketball court, guarding LeBron James and then missing his own dunk. Quite the spectrum of capabilities on the hardwood.
I love JaVale, you know. Only love to JaVale.
Only love. You know, something that we highlight here that, you know, since the things we just mentioned were in our out of left field portion of the segment. Now we're moving on to our Mendoza line. The Mendoza line. What is disappointing in sports right now? I would say the NFL's stance on the national anthem is something that's, you know, can you comment here? What do you think of this, what they've done here, Benjamin?
Yeah, you know, I am not a fan. I think people should be able to do whatever they see fit during the national anthem, and that's protesting. That's a good thing, and I think it's going to get challenged, and I don't think it's going to be able to exist, because I see it as an issue of not only, like, I had a whole conversation, it was funny, I was talking to my mom about this, and we were having a whole conversation about, like, if you were the ACLU, like, how could you challenge it? And I'm not, like, I don't have legal expertise at all, so I have no idea, I'm totally bullshitting here, but I'm like, you know, it's like, I don't know too. Like, is there a fine involved? What's the punishment going to be? Are they going to fine people?
I guess.
If they don't
fine teams, they can fine teams.
They can fine the team,
or they can leave it up to the teams to do something about it, right? Because then the Jets owner, who's the son of the original cat,
yeah,
right? He's like Chris Johnson, the son. He's like, oh, I'll cover any fines, or I'll let all my guys do whatever they want. You know, now it's interesting that, like, he can take, like, a progressive stance on it. Also, Jed York of the Niners said he abstained from voting. And apparently the owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis, claimed he did too, although there are reports that he did vote for it.
Wow. I didn't hear that. Mark Davis? Yeah. Damn. And now, you know, Jed York's sort of platform of inactivity.
Yeah.
You know, he's on top of that, so... You know what I mean?
He's always, yeah, abstaining from success.
Yes.
Shout out to Jed. And his uncle, Mariucci, I think. Is that his uncle? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the rule, man. You know, I think it's suppressing speech, because we know what it is. It's a protest, you know? And so when, like, if they're banning a protest with a threat of financial repercussions, that's like an attempt to repress speech. You know, these guys work. This is where these guys work. You know, it's like, what would you know? You have to think about it, like, in your office or something, right? Like, right. What if you had, like, a cartoon, a political cartoon up in your cubicle or something? Could they say, like, no, you have to take that down? That's against company policy? Or, you know, like, where's the line, I guess, between, like, expressing yourself about something political and, you know, what you can't talk about at what a company is allowed to tell you. You can, like, how much can a company restrict speech? You know what I mean? Like, there are certain things like sexual harassment that I think everybody agree upon. Like, you know, a company can restrict, can, like, you know, take action against that kind of speech that's, like, you know, harassment and stuff. And what about also, like, and I guess the question is, where do we stand on, you know, like, protest or, like, free speech, just like, or, like, I mean, or political speech rather, right? It's, if it's, it's not the same, obviously, and you're not, they're not doing it unto anybody else. So
it's only against the players.
Yeah. So do we? I personally don't want to really allow the NFL, you know, necessarily to have discretion as to, like, what type of speech is somehow cross a line that they're allowed to regulate.
Yeah. Real talk. Keeping it real here. Not Your Average Sports. Thanks for tuning in. We got Benjamin Ruffman Cohen on the podcast, joining us on the beach in Fort Tilden, out here, 5:38 p.m. East Coast time. You know, in our Hail Mary section, moving on but not too far, is who's desperate in sports. Based on what we just talked about, I feel like the NFL is desperate, and very much unlike and in contrast to the NBA. I mean, you see the NBA is thriving as a league. Yeah. Everyone, you know, from dancing grandmas in the seats to Draymond Green's mom, Babers Green on Twitter. I mean, the Twitter sphere is, you know, even if you, yeah, judge professional sports based on Twitter, the Twitter sphere for the NBA is fun. People have their memes and stuff. They keep it real fun. But even like, even social media about the NFL is just like depressing. It's just like sad.
The meme,
you know,
game is weak.
Yeah.
NFL, yes. Yeah. Meme game is much stronger. And
you know, I don't know. I just, you know, I've always loved basketball. I prefer it as a sport that I can actually participate in long term without the threat of brain damage and what have you. But we're going to leave it now to our guests to come up and fill in part of our other sections here on the show. We're almost running out of time here, but our hole in one, who's kicking ass in sports? Your opinion, sir.
Wow. Who's kicking ass in sports right now? This is going to be an earnest answer, like, because my sarcastic answer, you know, is obviously going to be J.R. Smith. You know, he's kicking he's going to get his ass kicked in the locker room by LeBron. But who's kicking ass in sports right now? Across any sport? It's just any sport, huh? This is tough, gosh.
In general. Yeah.
In general. Well,
who's got a hole in one? Who's acing it?
I mean, I'm of course, as a Warrior fan, I'm biased. I want to be like Steph Curry's, you know, like, you know, lighting it up. But I feel like maybe there's like a little more, like a less obvious answer out there. What do you think?
I mean, obviously LeBron.
Wait, well, LeBron, yeah.
LeBron's doing. He's taking. He went to 8 straight finals.
Too much of a. You know. I was free to talk politically, but then I was like, oh, when it comes to that, I don't know. Can I give credit, too much credit to LeBron, but yeah, really.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to. I mean, I know it's like not like original necessarily. You know, we're not breaking ground by saying LeBron is really kicking ass in sports. But I mean, the fact is, it's his time still. He's still on top of it. I don't see him leaving the East, whether he stays in Cleveland or leaves Cleveland. Don't see him going west for the first time in his career at this age. But 8 straight finals, it's unbelievable. He finally did it without James Jones. And which is the running joke, since he was there for all 7 straight. They said LeBron couldn't do it without James Jones, and he finally did. You know, just really the feat of, you know, the fact that all the other guys who have gone to that many finals were all on those Celtics teams from the 50s and 60s, and what a different era that was, and that now one guy has taken his team to a finals 8 straight years. Is miraculous in the sense that it really gives him an edge when you have that debate against him and Jordan, who was the greatest one, right? Jordan could have gone to 8 straight finals. For whatever reason, we were kind of robbed of that. But here LeBron is. He hasn't won them all. He's come close to a few and had some heroics. I think game one last night was really pivotal. That charge call that he didn't get really changed the game. I think that would have changed the series. I think instead of maybe the Cavs making it a 6-7 game series because they lost last night, it's more of a 5 or 6 game series now. Maybe they, you know,
yeah,
we'll see how they rebound. What do you expect? What do you expect to see in game 2?
Well, I mean, I expect to see, I mean, in terms of LeBron, I mean, what do we always expect to see? You know, greatness.
How do you think J.R. Smith is going to respond?
I honestly think J.R. Smith is going to rain threes. Like, I think
I agree.
He's going to, like, he's going to, like, take, like, 30 shot attempts.
30.
And
30.
Yeah, that's, like, the only, that's the only thing J.R. Smith can do to try and make up for it.
He's got to shoot his way out of it.
He's got to try and shoot his way out of it, like J.R. Smith does with everything. He tries to shoot his way
out. Shot J.R.?
So I think that's, I think, yeah, expect to see JR trying to drop threes. In terms of the Warriors, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's what you're saying before, maybe we'll see KD facilitating a little bit more, you know, hopefully, I don't know, that'd be nice. Same, you know, I expect to see, maybe.
How about Klay Thompson?
I mean, Klay is going to stay cool as a cucumber, you know,
he's a little hurt though.
I'm jawing with LeBron at the end to him and Steph, and yeah, and I know he's got a little, he's not feeling good after getting the attempt on his, legs by
Tanya Harding. I mean, J.R. Smith.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think Clay's gonna be okay. I mean, I think maybe we'll see Clay like we did, you know, in the last series when he was injured, and you know, it took him. You know, Curry was saying he's okay, but you know, he was a little bit off for a little bit until then he really clicked back into gear. I think that was game 5, right? And then he clicked back into gear again for game 6. So, you know, Clay might be slow to heat up, but you know, gotta, you know, Clay's always cool.
Cool as a cucumber. And I mean, you know, I was saying this last night. It's still so surreal to see the Warriors in the finals. Like, at this, as often as the Warriors and Cleveland have played, it's still like the surreal feeling is still new. It's still like, it's not something I can like take for granted as a Warrior fan. Like, would have never seen this coming, you know? And the intrigue is still there, you know? I don't know what it's like not to be a fan of a team that's played in the last 4 finals, but I assume you could still find and appreciate the storylines, you know, I think for all time's sake when you're talking NBA and we're looking back on this.
I was talking to somebody the other day. I was at the beach also, but down there, and someone was like hating on the Warriors, and they were like telling me, they're like, no dude, people hate the Warriors that aren't like Warrior fans. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, how could you hate the Warriors? Like, just underdogs and like, they're so cute and like they have fun. They were, I mean, and then like there's Oakland, and like, oh, Steph is so cute, and like they had like such a great time, and da da da. And then it's like, no, and then she was like, no, like she's from Chicago. She was like, no, people fucking like, people think they're annoying. I was like, oh my god, wow. And I was just like, yeah, I guess it is like, you can't take it for granted, but like you also, it's like hard to recognize that things have changed, you know, to that degree. That like, yeah, it's weird as Oakland sports fans to be a fan of a team who's like on top of the world, and like, yeah, I mean. But I guess as soon as you start winning, you get a target on your back, and so
they've been the villains for like 3 years now.
Yeah, but I mean, right. I mean, but also they tried to cast them that way, you know, which I remember feeling surprised the first time I saw the media trying to frame the Warriors as like, yeah, like a little bit villainous, like there was a, you know, and it's like, damn, like, you know, obviously, I don't know. It's just funny. It's funny to think of them in that as villains, but I guess they are. They're cheerful villains, man. They have fun.
But that's the thing. I think people think that Curry is a little entitled, you know, that he's a little bit of a brat. People don't like Draymond because of the, you know, like, there's hypocrisy, though, too, right? I mean, like, Draymond and Barkley, like, Barkley jawing at Draymond for playing how Barkley used to play,
yeah.
You know? Like,
that when Draymond was like, just come punch me in the face then.
Yeah, he's like, but they put it behind them recently, I guess. But yeah, he's like, why don't you just punch me in the face then? You know, looking at our hat trick, we're looking at a couple, you know, at least 3 different events or predictions that we have. Uh-oh, we should move our stuff. We got the water coming up. It's getting real on this podcast. We gotta move it because the water. We're gonna take a pause here and we'll resume action in just a second.